Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. With me today is my main man, Scott. Scott, what's happening?
Not much.
So, fresh off of, well, I shouldn't say fresh off of, a little bit off of New Mexico for me. but the Turkey Day, yeah. So, and then we've had the Guard Codex release since then. It's unfortunately in behind a paywall of the box, but that's okay. We still have a little bit of information for you and what we think of the codex itself. And then we'll recap my experience at New Mexico, which, you know, they obviously streamed it, but for the most part, it was kind of private, actually. But we'll go over that in more detail first. The box dropping new guard. Scott, what are your impressions of it? I know we've got a lot of fanboys here that essentially, you know, they love guard, but this new box dropping, it's got the orc feel to it. You know, you mentioned that to me earlier that, you know, the codex being inside the box felt a little bit like, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a cash grab. Who knows? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit of that. But I mean, it just seems like that's how they're doing some of these bigger model releases and stuff where I think because now I don't think the Rogal Dorn tank and some of the other models in there, I think the Sentinels and like one other unit comes in the new box. But like the Rogal Dorn tank isn't due to drop till like after Christmas, so sometime in January.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be available for LVO, maybe not. Kind of depends when that one drops. And then, you know, I guess it's kind of like that. I think a lot of events are ruling it just like they did Votann. If the models aren't out, you're not using it. Because you just don't know the exact dimensions of that tank until you actually can see one in the flesh.
Yep. And you know what's funny you bring that up is that we were talking about this, about, you know, if it drops a week before LVO, should it be allowed? I actually had that happen for Renegade this year with the Hecaton Fortress. I had people wanting to proxy the Hecaton Fortress. Not proxy, but like they had the Carcadon or whatever, the Overlords from Age of Sigmar, and they had modified their blimp. And they're like, can I use this as my Hecaton? I'm like, I can't tell you that until I see the model. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of our teammates had, I mean, he's obviously gotten some of those now, and it's about the size of a kill rig is kind of roughly how big it is. At least that's what I...
It's a little bit smaller than a kill rig. Yeah. A kill rig is pretty similar size, though, like as far as dimensions go.
Yep. Yeah, so it's a beefy boy. But he's hard to kill, too. So, in the Guard Codex, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's overly OP. There's some stuff in there that's really kind of really good. I think some of the combos that have come out early is that Karskin Warrior, or the Karskin, like, Elite Troops. They can, for a 100-point unit, they punch way, way above their weight class, and they can come in from reserves and deep strike shenanigans or out of chimera shenanigans and stuff and get shots off and get close to valuable targets and put a lot of hurt into them with the, I think their plasma guns is what they're running them with, I think is how that one goes.
They also have hot shot las guns as well.
They're basically a better Scion.
Yeah, exactly. The Karskins, they're really good. I like them.
Yeah, and the Scions kind of got tossed by the wayside in the codex. They don't get the benefits of like the born soldier thing, and they're just, I don't know, maybe there's a army renown or something coming for them, but they're pretty poopy.
I think they had their time in the sun, and you know, GW is known for doing that. Even in previous editions, when they make a new codex, just the older stuff phases out, and it's not necessarily because they want to make you to buy more models. It's just they just don't like having the same stuff good all the time, you know.
Yeah, and they want to highlight other models in their line. The Karskins are pretty big. They're sizably bigger than
The comparison there. That was crazy. One of the people who plays in the league compare them to an old guardsman versus the Karskin, and they're a little bit bigger. And I'm okay with GW upscaling some of these older models. They've done that for a long time. As long as we don't get to the point where, you know, a tank is the size of my computer, you know, let's just not do that. You know, I've got a full size tower.
That Rogal Dorn is sizable from what, based on the leaks and stuff I've seen, the pictures that they've even posted. So,
It's like in between the Baneblade and the Lehman Russ, but more leaning towards Baneblade size.
Yeah. I'm just curious how that, I mean, it'll fit in the deployment zones, but I'm curious how, effective that will be in competitive play, just because your inability to hide it, where, you know, two hammerheads that can be hidden then pop out and it just appears. And there goes your 400 point model.
Oh, Tau.
I mean, something like that. I mean, there's other armies that could do the same thing. I mean, the Hakkasan Land Fortress is something that can probably put a big hurt on it, too. So, from a decent distance away, too. So.
Yeah, with the Conversion Beamer, Mortal Wound Strat. And yeah. I think Votann in general will be probably pretty good into the new guard, just because, you know, the Void Armor is pretty good. And just from what I've seen with the Karskins, they can, with the scanner unit, Auspect scan you and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think they got a little bit of play into the guard. But obviously, we're going to focus more on that when we get the Codex in our hand. Neither of us have it currently. Just dropped this Saturday, and then we will do a focus on it, and then we'll do, obviously, our Patreon episode of the Faction Focus of Guard. Which
The other thing I'm kind of curious what GW is going to... GW needs to kind of step in and say, does the balanced data slate still apply to it? Does AOC still apply? Does the ignore line of sight shooting still apply?
And, you know, I totally think that they're going to address that.
Yeah. Just got
to
give them some
time. They have to, right? They have to, yeah.
Because as a TO, you just don't know what to do.
Right.
You're kind of just making a guess.
Right. But as I was saying earlier, if you want to join us on the Patreon or check us out on our website, www.patreon.com/AW40K or at advancedwarfare40k.com, where you can see our cute little profiles and just basically a synopsis about what we're about. And it continues to have a little bit of a link there to the Patreon as well. But we'd love to see you there, and you know, we got plenty of different stuff if you want to do that, but obviously you guys heard me talk about this before, so I'm not going to go too much in depth into it, but let's roll into New Mexico. So this tournament in New Mexico, the grand finale, the narrative, I gotta say the narrative was put on very well, and there were tons of people in cosplay. In fact, you got benefits for being in cosplay, and there were plenty of people there that we had there. I think there was one group there that was an Inquisitor and a Farseer, and I actually, you know, on our way to the airport that go home, they were actually waiting, and we got to talk with them a little bit about it. They were such in-depth cosplay that they had to be shipped separately. They could not go on a plane with them. So
wow.
Yeah, it was the Farseer outfit would look like a Farseer from the book. With the helmet, and then she had ears, and then the Inquisitor looked like a grizzled war veteran Inquisitor. You know, it was pretty cool. And the cool part is that group actually, if you got to see the stream, Zach from Games Workshop, their events coordinator, was Karn the Beast, I believe, the Admech or whatever cultist guy. And I believe that pair made that costume as well. So that's pretty cool. But they had battle groups, and they had specific war zone spots. And as you fought, you basically, I mean, the point is you still want to win, right? So, but they had the battle groups set out a certain way so that you're battle group 1, 2, 3, whatever, and loyalist, Xenos or whatever. And then you fought actual battles on... basically, I won't say it's definitely not competitive terrain, but some of the prettiest terrain you're going to see out there of Games Workshop terrain. And then a lot of people brought gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous armies. So it was pretty cool to see. But enough of the narrative. 200 people showed up for the narrative for 40K. 16 people showed up for the finale. 8 overalls and 8 champions. I myself was in the champions bracket. I had a great time. My first round matchup was against Thousand Sons, which going into this, I believe I talked about it with you guys preemptively that I thought that was a pretty tough matchup for me. And yeah, I was pretty correct in that. But going into my round one, the one thing I will say is that I think they might have messed up number 3 a little bit, meaning the layout was supposed to be a little different. The rune walls on my table were facing the players. So one side, if we're looking at it for Hammer and Anvil, which is the mission here, Abandoned Sanctuaries, the left side, the closest, the wall was facing me, not the center. And then also the right side, the wall was facing my opponent, meaning it was against the far side of the rune for me. What that meant for me, it is I was playing Thousand Suns, is that the middle was wide open, so basically I just could not be in the middle, or I get mortal wound bombed. So
least you weren't playing Tau. Jesus Christ.
I was playing Emperor, or playing Thousand
I
Suns,
know. I
not the
know.
greatest. But anyway, Matt played a great game. I did get a YOLO charge off. I'm not gonna go too depth into the game because it's a 4-hour game, right? So it's not like I can sit here and go over it over and over and over and over again for 4 hours. I'm just not gonna do that. So the key points here is the reason I'm bringing up the YOLO charge is because I did it turn one. And this is his fault because he let me do this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't take anything away from his play because he beat me. But like, he didn't need to be in charge range, but he was. So I took the advantage and I was able to get into some Rubricks. And then I was able to pile into another squad of Rubricks and a character and really just sew that up with the Warp Storm to Khorne to not fall back. So I forced his crystal for him to try and pull back, and then I did roll the four up on his character, so his character had to stay in combat with me. This is the Bloodthirster with the face cap. The reason that's important is Thousand Suns can easily face cap my Bloodthirster in three phases, right? They can do psychic very easily. Shooting, it's tall order, but I bet you they can get like three or four, which four is all they need to kill me in one turn, and they can definitely do it in combat with the Scarab Occult Terminators. So, locking them down there was huge. It basically opened up my flank for me for a really, really solid amount of time. And it just didn't happen out. It just didn't pan out after that, which is okay. I was kind of bummed a little bit about it, but basically, after my Bloodthirster went through his Rubrics, tagged those guys, kept him in combat, I killed the character in combat. I was already pretty degraded, so it was going to be a tough call to try and kill some of those Scarab Occults that he was in combat with. But I chose to kill the character, and then from there, I had my right flank, which was pretty well protected as far as just stuff in general. I had all my Flamers over there, I had Blue Horrors over there, I had a bunch of my characters over there, but the problem ended up being that those Rubrics with Alted Dust, he just made two ups, and that happens. And so he held me back on 2 turns of primary, which didn't feel great. So, I put like 42 wounds onto him in one turn, and I did a wound to the squad. So when that kind of stuff happens, when there should be like three dead Marines, when there are three there, that's kind of a bummer, but it's a two up, right? It can happen. Even with a command point reroll, that's okay, that's normal. And that's this matchup. That's why I hate this matchup. But the other part that happened is I failed a 3d6 inch charge that was 6 inches with a reroll into the Scarab Occult Terminators to save myself an objective while simultaneously probably saving a flank, and they failed it, and so they got shot to death instead. So that kind of was a bummer. But that's Warhammer. But it's double elimination. I'm not out of it yet. Moving right along, I moved into Crimson Fists and Richard Siegel. Me and Richard had a great game. We both knew going into this that Crimson Fists are gonna be tough. So I know it sounds kind of messed up. But we kind of played a game, right? So I just kept feeding him stuff and charging stuff into his Terminators and Eradicators to make fun plays. But I was doing it in such a way that I still scored all my points and denied him enough points where I knew I just, as long as I did not just be dumb, I was still going to win that game. And we had a great time because of it. My Bloodthirster failed a 5-inch charge. And then I charged. He had a really good play with his company champion, who was Sigismund, kind of rubbing it in my f face. But he heroically intervened into a Screamer, which had charged some Eradicators to stop Overwatch so that my Fate Skimmer could charge. And then he piled in and swung on my Fate Skimmer and he annihilated my Fate Skimmer, which was my whole play to keep those big boys in combat. Didn't work out for me. And then he kind of came out turn three or four. I don't remember which one it was. But it was too late. I'd already scored too many points. And then he proceeded to basically table me. Well, not table me. Tabled my middle, which was fine. But then I think it was like a 10-point difference. But it was a good time. You know, we had a good conversation. We found out we both played StarCraft against each other back in the day in Grandmaster, Master department. So that was pretty fun to hear about. We talked about StarCraft. Then he showed me his Raynor model, which was Voltan playing to like Jim Raynor and Raynor's Raiders from StarCraft 2. He also has a Tychus. They're both beautifully painted. I don't remember by who, but awesome. They look crazy good. But that game was a lot of fun. Richard is a hell of an opponent. And you know what? I've seen Richard play before, and he's very, you know, straight to the point. He was not like that now. And it was fun to see that side of him, because me and him were joking and laughing. One time he had a little outburst. So he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, my bad. I didn't mean to lose my composure. I'm like, dude, let's lose our composure, man. Let's do this. Like, I don't give a damn. This is why I play 40K, right? I like having fun. So that was good. any questions on that, Scott?
No. Yeah, it's Crimson Fists. So.
Yeah, Crimson Fists with, and he went fluffy too. He took a bunch of Power Fists, with whatchamacallit, Vanguard Vets. So it was fun to see, really fun. And then we moved on. I'm playing a Zach Kirstetter from the Mountain Trolls. And this game is on stream a little bit. It's hard to say because
yeah, I think round three for you guys was on the Twitch.
Right. I'm just trying to I don't want to disrespect Zach because he played a hell of a game. He just the matchup in general with the phase cap Bloodthirster, this was going to be a tough go for him. He needed Infernal Pistols to do damage to me. Otherwise, the Bloodthirster was just going to just break his back. And the mission that it was being, I don't remember if it was Death or Zeo conversion, but it was Corners. Gosh, it was just tough. Because with my Bloodthirster there, he has to engage me, and he has to pretty much sacrifice a character or lose a whole squad of Sanguinary Guard, right? Because there are two wounds and the Bloodthirster sweeps for two. There's only 8 wounds you can do a turn to it, and then you have to do 2 rounds of combat to get it to degrade, essentially. And I've got CP to interrupt, and he does have a fight last. But along with that Bloodthirster, I have Bellicor, Flamers, you know, Zeen Psykers to blow stuff up and Psychic. And he had a couple plays to make it really close. He just wasn't able to stick the charge. But then being engaged with my Bloodthirster in the middle, because what I did is I took my Bloodthirster, shoved him in the middle, took my Changecaster, ran him up behind him, knowing that the Changecaster was going to die horribly because why wouldn't he? He's going to have to go after him with Death Company so that it opens him up to some Zeen Psykers behind him. But I'm going to get my Warp Patrol off with that Psyker in the middle without exposing Bellicor, which Bellicor is what he wants to get at with hammers. So I'm keeping Bellicor back until I've dealt with all the hammers. And he came in with 14 Sanguinary Guard and 5 Death Company, killed the Changecaster, did his 8 wounds to the Bloodthirster, charged me with the Sanguinary Priest too, made the Priest fight him. But then, because it's the conversion, I'm able to drop my blood letters in like a 5 or 6 inch charge because of how manifestation works. If I'm wholly within my deployment zone, I can be within just outside of 3 inches of enemy units. So I was able to get a relatively easy charge off with the blood letters there, wipe a squad of Sanguinary Guard, and then the other guard, Sanguinary Guard squad got pretty much swept away by the Bloodthirster. And the Bloodthirster ended up healing a couple units, but then on his turn, he had to shoot every last little shred of shooting to get the final wound. The Bloodthirster was at 9 wounds at the end of his shooting before he had the Whirlwind to shoot, so he had to shoot the Whirlwind there instead of fight lasting Bellicor. He shot at the Bloodthirster, was able to plink off the last wound to bring it to 8 so that when he charged, he would kill the Bloodthirster. But at this point, he has his characters, 7 Sanguinary Guard, 5 or 10 Death Company, and 1 squad of troops that were up on the corner, and some of limbs.
And his Whirlwind.
And his Whirlwind. And all he had killed of mine is a Changecaster and the Bloodthirster. So the Bloodletters ended up dying too, but everybody who plays Bloodletters know they're 1 wound, 5 up in combat. Like they die. Like they come in like a missile and then they die. So I still have my other squad of Bloodletters. I still have my Zinchcaster, all my Flamers. So it was just not going to be. That was not going to happen after the dice that had happened previously. He needed a couple of his fusion pistols to go through on my Bloodthirster early so that he could get me a phase earlier, which did not happen. So, but Zach played a wonderful game. He had some unfortunate dice happen too, where Lamartes made a play into my Flamers, which I got caught out being lazy. So, kudos to him. But yeah, that was a great game. You can catch that game. I think they posted the video on stream, but it's really hard to follow because they flip from 3 different games. Because I think Kill Team was playing at that time too.
They were flipping between that game and one of the best overall games. Whatever they did, 40K, it was like one of your guys' games and one of the best overall games.
I thought it was Jack Harpster and Geyer that were getting on the other stream.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
But yeah. Anyway, that was like a really...
It was. You're right.
That was a really fun game. Zach was a hell of an opponent. Zach is always a great game. I love Zach. If you don't know, we've had Zach on the podcast here recently for his win in Kansas City. That's why he was in attendance there, so... Moving on, Game 4. So this is kind of a conundrum. I don't want to seem like I don't want to say I didn't try, but I definitely did stuff out uncharacteristically aggressive for 2 reasons. One, you guys should know, when I started this game, I had been playing Warhammer for 12 hours already. 2, I'm playing John Lennon, which if you ever played John Lennon, he's a great game. You're not going to get a bad game out of him. And, you know, he's very good. And we're playing Abandoned Sanctuaries, which if you know anything about Abandoned Sanctuaries, whoever gets second turn is at a very, very big advantage for primary, because you can get a 19-point swing on primary at the bottom of turn, as long as you control the middle. But the other portion of this is that whoever wins this match has to come back in the morning and play the loser of when me and Zach were playing. It would have been Matt Geyer, which is Thousand Sons. So I already won. I know that matchup is tough. I think John's got a better shot into him. Not that I didn't want to win. I did. But I just thought about it, and I just thought, you know, let's have some fun. I'm going to bring out everything turn 2 because I got second turn. I'm going to try a 9-inch charge with Bellicor after teleporting. I'm going to try an 11-inch charge with my Bloodthirster. I got all my Flamers out to flame some Paragon Warsuits, which my math in my head was a little bit off. I think I needed... I thought I needed all 3 squads. They died after the first squad, so I basically had 2 squads of Flamers out there for no reason.
They have a 3-up save in that with, like, they're what, T5... 4 wounds apiece.
Yeah, I gave the front squad +1 to wound, and they were strength 6. So I had the Exalted Flamer nearby, so I was wounding them on 2s.
Oh yeah, you definitely didn't need that much then.
So yeah, I blew them up, and I think John knew if I stuck either of my charges into the Paragons in the backfield with the Bloodthirster or the Bellicor with a I had 1 CP for a reroll. I think he loses that game. But it's not something that I would normally do because it's such a low success rate that I'm still
in the game on a 15% chance.
Yeah, I'm still going to be super exposed. But like I said, the place where we are staying is absolutely gorgeous. There are the Rocky Mountains in the background. There's nature trails. They have bikes for you to just take out and go riding around nature. It's right next to the Rio Grande. We got to see the Rio, the river. And then, you know, they got fire pits and the front desk will give you stuff to make s'mores. So, you know, they have a bunch of stuff that like a resort will do. And it was just beautiful
and
relaxing.
Your wife was there, so.
Well, yes, my wife was with, and I, you know, I do a lot
yeah,
of
you want
Warhammer.
to spend time with her.
I do a lot with Warhammer, so it was time. I needed a prior, you know, I needed to be a priority to my wife for that game, for that day. She would have been fine on her own, because she ended up going horseback riding without me that day anyway, because they have a weight limit and I'm too fat, so.
That's cool.
So
it sounds like it was an event.
Yeah, so I mean, I was still going to take a shot at winning, but I didn't want to take forever doing it. So that's why I took the normal shot. So I wouldn't say I didn't try. I won't say that. I will say that I took the high risk, high reward path, knowing full well that if it doesn't pan out, I probably lose that game. And I think John won like 91 to 70 something. And yeah. We both beat the crap out of each other. And this is why I say I think if I play this normally, I win. Because at the end of the game, I had Bellicor with 9 wounds left. He had like 5 Battle Sisters, a Dogmata, a Cannon, or no, a Canonist, and then 4 four of the Novitiates left. That's it. That's all we had left between the two of us. So it was pretty fun.
Bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath, yeah. But, you know, he scored points, I didn't. So.
Yep.
Miracle Dice still can pain in the butt, but.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. The event itself outside of the stream wasn't super covered, and I kind of got a little bit of insight for that. And I believe that this was less of a look at our best finalists from the year. Let's showcase them. Let's have a good time. But more of a prestigious thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't meant to be like the Grammys or the Oscars, right? It was meant to be like, here's a free vacation for you guys for being great at our game and promoting our game and being really good at our game and, you know,
not being a shithead.
Yeah, not being a shithead, you know. So, and that was in the packet, actually. Don't be a shithead. But it was handled. The games were really good, so I had a good time. I would definitely recommend it. If you are thinking that the narrative isn't up your alley, I will tell you that Richard Siegler went into the narrative and had a blast. And he is a very much so a competitive player, even though he brought Crimson Fists. But
well, there was a GoFundMe for that.
Correct. But regardless, it's a good
time.
Any
$200, I will play any army too.
That's pretty much what my experience there. The resort there is nestled in New Mexico, is run by I'm gonna probably butcher this, Tamaya, Native Americans, and their culture there is very rich. But if you don't like green chilies, you have very limited food. I don't mind green chilies, but man, everything was green chilies, man. But
cool.
It's a good time.
That's awesome. So now, I mean, after that event, do you regret changing the demons? Do you think
Nope.
you should have stayed as Emperor's Children?
I think I would have done just as well with Emperor's Children. Probably have a little bit better shot at winning it. But you know, the 3D chess game for everybody, I think, was kind of fun. So I didn't mind that aspect of it. So.
Yep. And so now, I guess at this point now, you're starting to shift and starting to think about LVO at this point, I would assume, right?
I am definitely thinking about LVO, but I think I'm going to do Emperor's Children for LVO or my Eldar. You know, I did think about my Eldar quite a bit when I was down there, because nobody else in the championship bracket brought Eldar. I'm very good with my Eldar, and I miss
Harlequins
them.
There though, right?
Yeah, there were two Harlequins. I'm just talking Craft Worlds. Like, I think I could have done really well with Craft Worlds, but then I don't know. I'd probably do bad with them at least one of the games, and then regret bringing them. You know?
Yeah. Well, our teammate James, he won the best overall tournament. He with Craft World Eldar.
Yeah, he did, and you know. The fun part is that next week we're going to have James on as a guest and talk about his experience. So he wanted to do that, but wasn't able to make it happen this week, which is
His
understandable. He's a busy dude.
he played what well, he played Ganyo, lost to Ganyo, I think in round two, and then
Yep.
fought his way back through the losers bracket, and then actually beat Ganyo twice in the
Yep.
finals. Kind of, I know he had talked about there's some like he kind of deployed in the line, hoping he was going to go first to have a chance in one of the games. So
Yep.
yeah, it'll be exciting to hear his point of view and how the event was for him too. So.
Sure. Yeah, I think it'll be good. Yeah, he played. I watched some of his games, and man, he played a hell of a game, you know. So
Yeah, it gives you the Jones for your Eldar again, I'm sure,
it
watching
just
that.
sure did. Sure did. Shout out.
Yeah, so I'm thinking from L. I mean, I'm already starting to plan for LVO. I think that'll probably be the next event outside of an RTT that I will probably end up doing. I don't think we're going to have any changes last year. I mean, I think last year we were talking about last year the data slate, the points, and the new book were not usable at LVO. They dropped too late. I know they already said that the new book would not be usable. New missions. We are playing Nephilim missions no matter what. It's just a matter of points and data slate drop early enough for that. But given that everything dropped what end of towards the end of October, I would suspect it might be end of January before that stuff drops. So we might not see it for LVO. So we might be this might be the meta. I mean, obviously guard. Coming into it, gonna shift the meta a little bit, but I think we're
Well,
sitting at the meta,
I think the guard has shifted the meta a little bit, but not crazy, you know?
they're
We'll
not
see.
nothing in there seems super broken out. Like it's not like, I mean, maybe there's a Tzeentch Flamer thing in there. I don't know, but I don't see like, oh, I'm gonna every list is gonna have these things in there, or like Leviathan did when they first dropped, or Tau, nothing that shifts the meta like that.
Correct. I think you're correct there. I think where we're at is where we're at. The only thing I will say is that people will have sufficient time at that moment to get Votann up to speed. And I think Votann are much better than people give it credit for right now, because think about it, like people like Skaari, who have been playing Dark Eldar forever, when the new Dark Eldar book dropped, they were very good with Dark Eldar because they already everything that's plays has played similarly in the past. There is no past for Votann, so what are we to do? You know, like there are gonna be things that we don't know yet that are gonna come up, and that I think will get flushed out by LVO. I truly think that.
Yeah, and I don't. I World Eaters, I guess, is the only other new thing in the meta that they have announced that's coming that hasn't dropped yet. I don't know if that'll be out before the cutoff or not. I know they said like January-ish time frame, so
Right.
that could be a Custodes type thing where it drops right before it and is strong. It can.
We'll see. I don't know. It's
It's a
tough to
possibility.
say. All close combat armies generally, like demons, are pretty close combat-y, but they have mortal wounds to back it up. I just don't see that out of the world leaders. I think they'll be good. I just don't think they'll be broken. I just think it would be very, if they are broken, they are broken. You know what I mean? Like they're just gonna have to break the mold with
Yeah.
how it's been going.
Yeah, we'll have to see what comes out there. And I think they one other news thing that dropped, I thought there was like a one of the narrative type books that they had been dropping, like those Warzone ones, but there's no competitive stuff in there. It's Crusade only. So
I think
that
gang,
makes me very happy.
thank God. Right? Like enough with the bloat. Thank you. Oh God. But you know what?
It's
Some
like,
of
yeah, bloat the shit out of Crusade.
the Crusade stuff, you know, it needs more and more and more poured into it, because as you get different campaigns rolling, you want to change campaigns, right? Like you can't play the
Yeah.
same one the whole time. And if you give them more material, you know, I would be interested in some Crusade if I wasn't
Yeah,
so dang competitive, but like
you don't want to
I,
build your army exactly the same every single time in Crusade.
yeah,
That would just
yeah,
be so
exactly.
boring.
So I think that this is a good alternative. So that's what I'll say about it. And I
Yeah,
don't
well,
mind it.
hopefully the book still sells really well, so they don't revert back to the old model. to make us competitive guys buy those books.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not. Let's not say we didn't.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I think that was the other thing we didn't really talk about at all. Like, there's two Necron Army of Renowns that have kind of dropped somewhere. I don't even know where the hell they dropped. I've just seen pictures of them.
Yep.
I think they're in White Dwarf.
I've seen the Destroyer Cult one. And
yeah, I saw that one.
You're just not giving up OPSEC and pregame move for that, so...
To not be able to take, like, the Silent King, who's probably the best model in your army.
Yep.
And or Cryptex. You can't take Cryptex either because it's all Destroyer Cult. So, I don't know. That one doesn't seem... And then there's, like, a Cryptex Canatep one or something like that. I didn't look that closely at that one either, but it didn't seem that good. Just, yeah. Like, useless rule bloat that... You're going to end up facing somebody playing it and have to ask a million questions because you don't know the hell it does. So you don't get caught off guard.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not a big fan of the rules bloat, but, like, yeah, let's not.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, those sometimes you just run into, like, you know, as an obscure army, you know, and, like, you just don't know how it plays. It's not that it's necessarily good. It's just that you never see it, so you don't. You've never practiced into it, so you don't know how to play into it, and you know, and that can cost you a game sometimes.
Yep, that's 100. You know, that's definitely happened to me. Like I would say with the Thousand Sons, if I had a game into them, I think if me and Geyer played again, I'd just from what I know now and how my army functions against that and a different mission, because going second on a mission where I don't get CP for two rounds really sucks.
that mission's stupid.
Well, they just need to make it so that you get your CP, and if you don't hold your home objective, you don't get it. You know, that's all they need to do with these CPs.
Or
you know,
just the special CP shit is just kind of dumb. Like the whole warlord thing, if your warlord's dead, you don't get CPs. There's a lot of armies that your warlord is somebody you use in close combat, and he's a missile, and he's meant to die. Mm-hmm. And you can't have a warlord like that. It's just, I don't know. Me personally, it's just not my... I don't like that.
Not your cup of tea? Not your jive?
Yeah, it just doesn't, I don't know, it just feels weird where you're hurting someone's because of the way their army was constructed that they are at a negative on this mission. Or like the pregame mission, you know, it's like the pregame move one, like, cool, my whole, like, you know, my army's built around being able to move something up forward pregame, and now I can't. Cool. You know, I don't know, it just... Hopefully there's some changes there in the next book that come along.
I hope so. Some adjustments. I don't dislike like all the stuff, but that's one that can go. Like just having the advantage of going first and alpha striking and then getting the command point advantage. Unless you have forward deploy, which if you have every book has access to that, sure, let's do it. But you don't, so
I think most books have something, but like
Chaos Space Marines do not,
unless you're Alpha Legion, yeah,
or World Eaters, I think, have it too.
Yeah, well, Thousand Suns can do it for 2 CP. You can get out there to get that 1 CP.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know there's only one Hammer and Anvil deployment now, but it just seems like they struggle with that deployment. I like the corners and angles on the corners that they did. Those deployments are much more engaging, I think, for the game.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, versus this that weird the Hammer and Anvil ones. I don't know. Those are really penalizing to like slow armies.
Just
kind of walk up the middle. And that one's really bad because it's got like three on your side, three on their side, and you know, Necrons can score almost 100 points without leaving their board. It's like, all right, I'm just going to sit over here and score 100.
Yep. Fun stuff. I get 100.
I mean, even sisters, like, they get, what, 11 points from that one because they get 5, 5, and 1?
Yep.
It's like, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm GW, I got to rework the secondary system because... In my opinion, the secondaries should not balance the codex. The codex should just be written balanced.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the ideal situation, but I get why they do some of it to balance it. But, like, at least if you can have secondaries, make them be ones that you force engagement with your opponents. They did a really good job getting rid of Stranglehold, getting rid of, to the last, because those just didn't cause engagement.
Cancer!
And so hopefully they take that into effect on some of these, on the secondaries and stuff. So,
and
just the balancing of some of the secondaries, Custodes Stranglehold versus Tau Stranglehold, they're not even comparable. Custodes takes theirs, they pray to God they go second, because if they go first, they're going to score a zero.
That could be true. Fair. So.
And even if you go second, you might just get like a six or a nine.
Sure. Well, let's move on to our next section. Scott, you want to pull up some of those patron questions and let's get them answered.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see. All right. Let's see. What do we think of WTC style team events? So I think the biggest one here in the U.S. is the ATC. But we hit that one up, was that 2019? I think it was 2019 we went to that one, right?
Yep.
That was probably one of the funnest events I've ever been to.
I love them. The only complaint I have is that terrain and not being able to tow in terrain makes terrain less worthwhile.
It's either line of sight blocking or not.
Yeah.
And so I think it helps with the game. When the game is in this unbalanced state, it's definitely the better way to play, because your broken Votann player plays their broken Votann player, or you just fell on the short straw this time, you get the broken Votann player. You take that one hit.
I know what you're getting at here. The year that we went, I took Eldar Flyers, and I ended up playing every other Eldar Flyer player on the other team.
Yep.
And the one time I didn't, Scott played them and absolutely made them cry into their Cheerios.
The Casella went ham.
Yep, it was a good time.
But yeah, it's like but it helps balance that portion of the game out where you're like, it adds another layer where you're trying to get those right matchups and, get those pairings so that you can actually, win the game that way. It's like when the game seems hopeless and over, you're still playing because you're trying not to get that, 20-0 or whatever, you're trying to scrape any points you can get or deny them any points you can get, because it might be the difference between your team winning and losing.
Yep. Yeah. And that's that's what I like about it the most, is it's not individual scores as much. It's like, as a team, how did you differential? You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a great time. WTC is a good time. I wish more teams from the U.S. got to go, because there's only currently like 8 players a year that get to go. But that makes it pretty prestigious.
Yeah.
Yep. It's always been a dream of mine to go to the WTC on the American team, but we'll see. There's new management this year. I think Brad Chester's running it, so maybe in the future.
Yeah.
We'll see.
WTC is cool, ATC, and I think LVO or the FLG guys ran like a Las Vegas team tournament one year. I don't know if they still are or not.
Yep, Advanced Warfare sent a team there. So it was a good time.
Yeah. Let's see. As a former, how do you make a proper Chicago pizza pie?
I'm not going over bread making. That's too complicated. So it takes real bread, like yeast dough. So does real pizza dough, but like, it's complicated. But essentially, pizza crust, which is, this is a heavier breading one, and then tomato sauce, generally goes on top. So you start with the pizza dough, then mozzarella cheese, then the tomato sauce. And then your toppings would go in between the cheese and the crust if you had any as well. But I've never made full-on Chicago deep dish. I have made deep dish pizza before, but I don't think I could call it Chicago.
Okay. Next question. And I don't have an answer for that because I've never made it.
Right.
I eat it, but I don't make it. let's see. Next one is... how much play do Sisters of Silence have? They've been proxying them in games, and the Flamer Chicks have done some work, but have never been overwhelming. But not been overwhelming.
Not enough to garner my attention. That's what I'll say. Like, I've read their data sheet, and nothing makes me think I should bring these chicks.
The reason why you bring Sisters of Silence into Custodes Army is because you need to fill you're taking a battalion, you want to fill that third troop slot with something really cheap for 60 points. They do have a deny strat for 1 CP of 4 up deny. They do have minus 1 to cast within 18 inches of them, so they do have some anti-psyker play, but they're just really they're sisters of battle without the armor of contempt, because they don't have that. So they're just a 3 up save, 3 T3 model with 1 wound apiece. They just die, unfortunately, if they get out in the open. But they're good backfield objective holders in a Custodes army. I would never take anything besides the troop one. But sure. That's just me.
Sure.
I know if you're playing a Psyker-based army, like, you know, not Thousand Suns, because they actually have bolters too, but like...
Their bolters are decent, though.
Yeah, their bolters are real good. But I'm just saying, like, if you're playing, like a demon army that doesn't have, like, their flamers are way in the back, maybe you could put the sisters out front to eat all the mortal shooting, but that they're just going to die horribly to whatever comes up the field.
Right.
Go stand out front and eat mortals, you know, because they're not affected by any of that stuff, but Kisans would just shoot them to death real easily. I mean, I think a Rubric Squad could probably take them out. The AP2, so they'd be saving on fives or fours if they're in cover, so I don't know. I have 8,000 points of Custodes, and I have 5 Sisters of Silence painted up, and they're literally for that one troop slot.
Gotcha. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's I just not viable in my opinion, outside of just a throw-in unit.
Yep. Gotcha. What else we got?
Well, that's it for the questions this week. Not too many, so.
Gotcha. A lot of people busy with Thanksgiving. We totally get it. We were busy with Thanksgiving as well. I got to enjoy and cook for my entire family and some of my extended family. I made entirely too much mashed potatoes, but like I like mashed potatoes, so it is what it is.
Yeah, we had plenty of mashed potatoes. I had plenty of that. So yeah, we had like a Thanksgiving at work and with like my family and my wife's family. So it was a lot of Thanksgiving.
Sure, that is a lot of Thanksgiving. But my turkey turned out beautifully. It was nice and moist. It had some dry parts to it, but that came from not actual bird. I had to buy like this. It's called an airline cage to sew up the amount of turkey you get, because I had more and more people. I'd like to think it's because they thought I was cooking that. that's why they wanted suddenly to come.
Yeah, that's
we'll
a good
see.
Reason.
Yeah. but
what,
yeah.
A professional chef's going to cook by Thanksgiving? Hell yeah.
Yep. It was real good. The one thing I'll talk about is I made cranberry walnut stuffing. So you take cranberry walnut bread, and that's what you make your stuffing out of. It was super.
Well, that sounds good, actually. I'm not a big stuffing guy, but that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it needs a little sweet aspect, in my opinion, because it's very savory with the sage and the chicken stock and all that jazz. So.
Yep. Yep.
But do you have any closing thoughts? I think this is pretty good. I don't have much for you guys, other than thanks for listening, and we appreciate you here at Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming up on 1 year of doing this now, so it's been a fun ride so far. I think December we're 1 year.
Well, I think we'll have like a big 1 year anniversary episode, which will be huge. Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nope. We'll plan on it. We'll see if it actually happens.
That's fair. You know, yeah, I mean, we're just a couple guys doing this pretty much out of our basement, so. I mean, we'll see what we can pull off, but
I'm literally in my basement, so yes.
So, thanks for listening, guys. Scott, any final thoughts?
No, thanks everybody for listening. It's a good time.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.